This week is the first week in the season of Epiphany, which the gospel lesson for this week, which we heard earlier, is focused on the boy Jesus in the temple, and has often provided the church with a week to focus on the role of Christian parents and parenting. For those of you in college, this is a unique stage in your life where you are now out of the nest of your parents and yet still able to reflect easily on their parenting of you, and also looking ahead to establishing your own home probably someday, and if the Lord blesses you someday with being a parent. With that in mind, our devotion today focuses on the reading from Proverbs chapter 6, beginning with verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. I was blessed to grow up in a very rich house. Our family had a lot. We were very, very, very wealthy. And my parents had inherited extreme wealth from the generations before them. And my childhood home was just a gorgeous, beautiful home. So we had a lot of riches in our family. Maybe not the way that you imagine in terms of earthly riches with the money and things like that. In fact, my dad told me once that his salary one year was only $300 above applying for welfare. But I mean it in a completely different way. In when it comes to spiritual riches, when it comes to heavenly wealth, that's the kind of wealth that I grew up in all around me. Daily family devotions, prayers at night with my parents, constant instruction from my mom and dad about our faith. Everything every day was kind of filtered through the Word of God in our family. And it was just like living in a rich mansion. The text in front of us uses the imagery of a very beautiful, costly necklace that can be hung around a person's neck that comes from the instruction of parents, of believing parents who pass on the wisdom and Word of God to their children and teach them about that and what it means for their life, and especially for the life that is to come. And that the wealth of that gorgeous necklace that can be passed on from the parents to the children is, of course, the beautiful gospel, the knowledge that none of us could ever get ourselves to heaven because of our sins and our weaknesses and all the issues of our guilt of our life. But that God, through his Son, through Christ, through the incarnation of himself becoming a human being in that little baby and at Christmas time, that God has made himself manifest now into the world as our Savior, come to pay for our sins, to redeem us, to buy us back to God, to forgive us all of that guilt and all of the sin that would have kept you and me out of heaven. And through faith in that Savior, now we have the hope of going to heaven someday and living forever there. And that Word of God that comes with that beautiful, precious gospel also teaches us about life, teaches us how to go through life and the commandments of God and how this is all for our good and for our benefit. What wonderful wealth and wisdom gets passed on from parents to their children through the teachings of God's Word. St. Paul said to the Corinthians, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And if you know him as your Savior and have come to trust in him and put your confidence of going to heaven only in what he's done for you, you're very, very wealthy. And someday you'll get to see what that wealth is really all about when you leave this life." Now that faith that gets passed on, if you will, this necklace, can't be just transferred to you the way other items get passed on to you, maybe from grandparents or parents. Each generation has to take and learn to make it their own through faith that the Holy Spirit works in your heart. There have been many people who have had very solid, believing parents and grandparents. But when it came to them, they threw it away and they cast it aside. And so this is something that needs to be done in each individual's heart and mind and conscience through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit coming into each one of our hearts and causing us to grab this precious truth. So make it your own. Learn to treasure it. Learn to love it. Learn to appreciate the wealth that has probably been passed on to you through your parents. We also need to understand that we live in a world that hates this. A world that's living in poverty spiritually and can't stand to see those of us who've been blessed with these riches. And there are thieves out there that want to steal and take this away from all of us. They want to rob us of this necklace. Let me give you one example. Some of you may have heard me read this before in class. A gentleman by the name of Dr. Daniel Dennett, he's one of the leading scholars in American education. He's probably retired by now. He's a very outspoken atheist. He's often called upon by presidents to lead commissions on improving education in the United States. Listen to what he writes. Talk about a thief. If you want to teach your children that they are the tools of God and not a product of evolution, then you must expect that we will feel free to describe your teachings as the spreading of falsehoods and will attempt to demonstrate this to your children at our earliest opportunity. There are people out there that are going to want to steal from your kids all of these riches. They're going to rip off that necklace that God can hand down to them through you. Now, those words from him are not just an assault on the doctrine of creation, which is certainly important. It's an assault on God. It's an assault on the authority of God. It's an assault on you as a parent. And it is a declaration of war against what will be done in your house when you try to evangelize your children and place the beautiful teachings of Christ in front of them. Some people in our country are even trying to take legal channels to declare the teaching of Christianity to children child abuse. That's the kind of thieves we have around us. That's the kind of people that want to rob us and our families. This is not child's play. This is serious, serious, eternal business. And we need to make sure to take it seriously as we pass these things on to our kids someday. So how can you do that? What are steps you can take to make sure that you hand on this wonderful wealth that you've been blessed with to your children? I have four things. First of all, I encourage you to become a supermodel. Now some of you are already there. But what I mean by that is this. Model to your children how badly you need a Savior. Model to your children how desperately you need grace to get to heaven. Model to your children what it means to repent of your sins on a daily basis and to love Christ and His Word, love His absolution, love His sacred feast of the Lord's Supper. Take it often. Model this to your children so that they see it in you. Don't just assume that you can farm off the spiritual upbringing of your children to other people. They need to see it in you. They need to see it in mom, and especially dad. They need to see it in you. God frequently in Scripture calls out Christian men and puts a heavy burden on us to assume the responsibility of leadership in our homes when it comes to the upbringing of our children. God wants you to be a perfect parent. I had perfect parents. I don't mean that they didn't sin. They did. My mom rarely, my dad once in a while. But I had perfect parents. And what I mean by that is this. Perfect in the sense that because they were clothed in the righteousness of Christ through faith, and because I knew that mattered to them and I saw that in them every day, I lived in the house of perfect parents. Being a perfect parent for you someday doesn't mean that you're never going to say something wrong or do something wrong in front of your kids. Of course you will. We all do. We're weak, sinful human beings. But when they know that we're penitent of those sins and even ask their forgiveness, when they know that that it's Christ alone that covers us with his holy, perfect record and robe of righteousness. And when we live in that robe by faith, that's how you are perfect parents. Secondly, be willing to do the little things that advance the kingdom of God in your home. Daily family devotions, little times of prayer with your kids, little conversations where you bring up spiritual matters into other aspects of earthly life. And don't take this process for granted. Don't just assume that because you were blessed to have this and have now gotten this as a child from your parents, that it's just going to naturally happen. Focus on it. Think about it. Be very intense and intentional about how this gets done. Thirdly, keep the proper perspective on what truly matters in life. There's a lot of stuff that our kids can do in life. Athletics and music and different things, and they all have their place, and they're very good. But to make sure that getting to heaven is the most important thing. Think how meaningless your child's Sunday soccer and basketball leagues are going to be on Judgment Day. Who's going to really care about them at that time? And trying to be the lenient parent in their youth in order to win your kids' favor may be the very attitude that undermines their relationship to Christ. My daughter used to laugh about a line in the movie Mean Girls. I don't recommend you go see it, but in the movie Mean Girls, if you've ever seen it, there's a girl in there named Regina, and her mom says as she meets her daughter's friends, "I'm not like a regular mom, I'm a cool mom." God doesn't need you to be a cool mom. God doesn't need you to be a cool dad. He needs you to be a heavenly mom and a heavenly dad and to take those things seriously. Satan beams with joy when he sees that the batting average of our children matters more to us than keeping them with Christ. And finally, number four, be careful about where you place your child. In other words, in front of whom will you place your child to have them learn about life? On our campus, there's a little building called Twight Hall, and it's named after a wonderful gentleman who served on Bethany's Board of Regents for decades, named Reverend Milton Twight. And he was kind of like Moses to me, just an amazing man. But he wrote this once. Just listen to this. "It is very plain that Christ has never asked you to give the training of your children into the hands of any persons or agency which leaves him out of consideration. A child's training will take on a certain flavor. Milk or butter left uncovered will soon absorb any odor or flavor near it. Children will take on the flavor, that is, the outlook and point of view of their teachers. If it is a Christian teacher, it will be a Christian outlook and way of life. If it is a worldly teacher, it will be worldly." A couple years ago, my father sent me, and I assume my other two siblings, a letter. And in that letter, he apologized for not having much money to pass on to us through our inheritance, whatever that's going to end up being someday. And he apologized that there wouldn't be much left. He's now 90 years old. But he reminded me in that letter that there are things that are far worth more than that. And he taught me about the true wealth of my Savior and what he's done for me. And today I still can't wait to live in the mansion that he taught me to live for and that my Savior has won for me. And so someday for you, if God blesses you to be a mom or a dad, make that your number one concern. To make sure that as best you can, you help your children know about how to get to heaven, that they can enjoy that kind of wealth someday. Amen.